News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Just a heads up, we've got this front coming through tonight, and it could bring some severe storms. It might not be around long. Maybe a little morning rain, and then it's going to get out of here, and the weather should be really nice after that. But the point is, tonight, in our sleep, we're going to be dealing with... We may not be asleep the whole night, because this thing might shake, rattle, and roll here through the town. Now, could possibly miss us, stay to the north of us, but Dr. Bill thinks that the chance that we're going to get some severe weather is pretty good. So just a heads up on that.
Yeah, and, you know, all in all, been a pretty good hurricane season for us. We haven't really been hammered by anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah. We've been fortunate.
Kind of wraps. Yeah, good news.
Maybe, you know, because we were not so fortunate last year. So the good Lord's being kind to us.
Being gracious, yeah.
So vaccine advisors to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration voted 17-0 with one abstention Tuesday to recommend Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. This is for kids, 5 to 11. Members of the FDA's Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee agreed that the benefits of vaccinating younger children appeared to outweigh the risks. Some members appeared troubled about voting to vaccinate a large population of younger children based on studies of a few thousand. The FDA also said that under most of the scenarios it projected, the benefits of vaccinating younger children would outweigh any risks, and Pfizer said clinical trials showed the vaccine was more than 90% effective in preventing symptomatic infection in children. The FDA also is now going to take the committee's vote under consideration. Then vaccine advisors to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will meet next week, November 2nd and 3rd, to discuss the decision and then decide whether to recommend that U.S. kids get the vaccine. The U.S. Federal government has a plan in place for delivering the smaller-sized vaccines to pediatricians' offices, pharmacies, and other venues across the country. So if it gets approved, which it looks like it's on that track, right?
Yeah, it sure does. And Fauci on Sunday said he thinks first 2 weeks of November is when they'll roll these out.
So they're going to be rolled out effectively and efficiently, I guess, if you just go to your pediatrician's office. Now the thing is, okay, how many parents are eager to get their kids vaccinated? I thought it was interesting. Tyler Finger did a story for Fox 10 where he talked to a young lady named Bethany Anthony. She's got four kids in West Mobile, and she is ready for the kids to get vaccinated. So just listen to what she's got to say, why she thinks this is all a good thing.
We do all of our vaccinations. This, for me, is just one more vaccination that we're trying to keep us safe, our community safe.
So FDA vaccine advisors are set to, they've already met yesterday, so there you go. She also says this is going to help her kids. Clearly, she just said this is just another vaccine.
Right.
We comply to be vaccinated. This is just another vaccine. And she says she wants her kids to kind of get back to living normally.
My 5-year-old, she wants to do dance. She just wants to be in doing things around other kids. At her age, she touches everything. I want her to be safe, and I just want them to be able to live more normally.
Now, speaking of pediatricians, Dr. Nita Ford Johnson is a pediatrician here in Mobile. Again, this is a local story, thanks to Fox 10, and she talks about vaccines for kids as well.
To hear that the efficacy numbers are so good, I totally recommend it for anyone, especially a child, to get vaccinated.
There you go. Get your child vaccinated. This is, again, 5 to 11, and we're thinking that early November, that's when they'll be available at pediatrician's office and other outlets,
right,
for you to get your child vaccinated, the smaller dose.
Yeah, and if you thought it was a war with 18 up in vaccinations, or more recently 12 and up vaccinations, wait until this goes into effect. And if there are some sort of mandates that kids have to be vaccinated with the COVID vaccine to go into school, this could be a huge, huge issue.
I agree. And one more time, just listen to the confidence that, again, Bethany Anthony from right here in West Mobile, she's got no problem with any of this.
I feel confident they would not be putting it out there for our children if it wasn't safe.
Now, you have a different spin on that.
Well, yeah, and, much in the same vein as how I feel about, you know, adults getting vaccinated, if you feel comfortable with your kid getting vaccinated, then that's fine. You know, I like the school board thing we've been talking about all morning. I think parents should be allowed to decide what their children do or don't do, obviously within the law. And I personally, I don't have a five-year-old. Mine are both under the age of three still. But if I did have a five-year-old, I wouldn't be rushing to the pediatrician's office to get them vaccinated with the COVID vaccine. And I'm not anti-vax. Mine have gotten every vaccination that's on, you know, they give you a sheet when you have a child and it says, all right, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, 2 years. These are the vaccinations you get. These are the screenings you get. And a lot of schools, most schools have required vaccinations.
Right.
You know, and we're fine with that. But I do have a problem with this particular vaccine right now. 5 years from now, I might not. 10 years from now, I might not. But right now, they don't have real world huge numbers to study on the long term effects of children and the vaccinations. And for me, who I try to base everything, I don't do a great job of it. Actually, I do a pretty poor job of it a lot of times. I try to base everything on risk reward.
Mm-hmm.
Is the risk worth the reward? And for me, if I had a five-year-old, I have a two-year-old, the numbers just, to me, aren't drastic enough that I would take that chance on something as important to me as my children.
Right.
And some of the numbers, well, at least one number here, children in that age group, 5 to 11, make up 9% of COVID cases in America. And the number of children that die from COVID is much, much, much lower. There are more children that die from the flu in a given year than have been dying of COVID.
And 9%, keep in mind, too, they make up 9% of COVID cases in the United States, and the numbers are, again, I'll just say, the Delta variant messed up us up royally because we felt like we were kind of smooth sailing.
Done with it, yeah.
That came through. Now, the government's response has changed. Everything has changed. But now the numbers are actually going down. So, again, to your point, you've got a child 5 to 11 years old. Now, Bethany, Anthony, very confident and ready to let kids get the shot. But I can understand the hesitancy. Also, we talked about the FDA approval. You've got a quote from somebody that was on that panel, right?
So this was all, I believe, over Zoom yesterday, the FDA panel doing their discussions. And this is a short little clip, and I don't have the full meeting, but I did see someone tweet this out. And it said, just in, FDA panel votes 17-0 to approve vaccines for children ages 5 to 11. Here's a doctor by the name of Dr. Rubin. Now, listen closely. This is a short little clip. This is him yesterday talking about the what they know about the vaccine and what this means to approve it for children.
But we're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is unless we start giving it. That's just the way it goes. But
One more time. I'll play it again.
But we're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is unless we start giving it. That's just the way it goes.
So the argument for people that say, get them vaccinated. Mandate it. Make sure the children get vaccinated. They'll say, well, it's not necessarily about them. And they say the same thing to adults that don't get vaccinated. It's about the rest of the community. It's about what they may pass on to grandma or grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
I would say most of the grandmas and grandpas in America, in Alabama, not in America, would say, listen, we're talking about children here.
Yep.
We don't know the long-term effects of this. We won't know. And this doctor admits we won't know until we start giving it to the mass population.
He almost said that. Well, I think he did say that's just the way it goes.
That's the way it goes.
So it didn't sound like he was like hitting the brakes on it. He was just like saying he might have been one of the doctors that voted yes. I don't know.
Who knows?
But it's like, yeah, that's the way he's explaining to us the way research works and the way these, you know, you got to wait. You have to vaccinate in the first place so you can begin to create the data years later.
And again, let me be clear. If you want your kids to get vaccinated, do it. That's fine. But I'm not.
It is 16 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Norwega. Let's talk about Austral as well, the situation going on there today. Like, today is the day, right?
Deadline.
Okay. Dan Brennan, Dalton Erwig, and Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Morning, y'all. Dan Brennan, Dalton Erwig, Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. 8:21. We'll get to a random minute of your texts, which are plentiful. Conversation we just had about kids and vaccines. It's going to be an interesting night tonight. Y'all just be ready. We could have some severe weather come through, come in and get out. But while it's here, it might deliver some straight-line winds. What did Dr. Bill say?
He said possibly 50 to 60 miles an hour.
Yeah. Woo. That's a little much, right? I mean, you're bringing you've decided to punt on your inflatable Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, I'm going to have to deflate him
down. You're
this
have
afternoon.
To blow it back up again tomorrow, and we would like that on Facebook Live.
Well, it's not manual. It's an automatic blow-up Mickey Mouse.
Oh, fine. So Alabama State Auditor Jim Ziegler was a guest on the Jeff Poore Show yesterday. He refused to announce his run for governor again, but he came close.
Qualifying with the Republican Party, which is the real litmus test, doesn't start until January 4th, so nobody's qualified to run for governor, and the deadline is January 28th, so I'm out running every day trying to line up support and raise dollars and cents to get the message out. That's the difficult part.
Okay, there you go. Jim Ziegler yesterday. You can check out the whole conversation on our podcast page at fmtalk1065.com. Also, all those podcasts are on the app as well. We highly recommend you do that.
What a tease, Ziegler.
He's
just come out
been
and say it, man.
It's been like a six-month tease. And you know, this Jim, the state can't take much more of this.
No, we're on pins and needles.
We want to know. we're just human here.
You know, back to this vaccine conversation, and it's not hard to, you know, tie this into the whole school board conversation. And the National School Board Association basically inviting the feds into school board meetings and saying that parents are unruly. And then you have people like Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe coming out and saying that they don't think parents should have a role in what their children are taught in school. And it's such a close comparison to what I feel will happen with the vaccine mandates for children. I just, if you think that it's outrageous that the federal government would in no way say your kids have to get vaccinated, then what planet have you been living on the last 6 months? Mm-hmm. Because it's coming, and they're gonna try to make it happen. And I have a major problem with it, not because I'm anti-vaccine, but because this is a new vaccine, and because the risk reward for me with the myocarditis or any other health issues, it's to me, I would rather, and some people will think I'm sick for saying this, I would rather my daughter take a chance right now with the statistics we have with COVID than with the vaccine. And some people will say that's absurd. That is the craziest thing you've ever said. But just look at the statistics. And when I had COVID last Thanksgiving and my wife had COVID and we only had one child at the time, mm-hmm. who we didn't take to school, she had to stay with us while we both definitely had COVID. She never showed a symptom. I don't even know if she caught it. I mean, I feel like she had to have because we were both there around her coughing and, you know, being sick for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you know, the natural immunity thing is real. And, if this COVID vaccine is available 10 years from now and we have 10 years of data and it points to it being safe, then I'm fine with it. You know, maybe I'll get it, let them get it then. But I have a major issue and I'm going to have a real problem if schools mandate it, because then I'm going to have to figure out, my wife and I are going to have to figure out what we're going to do. Mm. And a bunch of parents are going to have to make that same decision. And I just see this is going to be a huge, huge issue starting as soon as next month. For children.
Yep, that's what they say, early November. And that's around the corner.
And then you also have, like, Austell today. Today's the deadline. And we've been talking about the airlines and the federal employees who the vaccine has been mandated for. Well, and Governor Ivey's executive order from earlier this week, which really was, if you listen to the Jeff Poore Show or Midday Mobile yesterday, it was basically, you know, lip service. The executive employees in the state don't have to get vaccinated.
It's hogwash.
Yeah.
Like Jim Ziegler called it
Ziegler
hogwash.
Said it's hogwash. So Austell today is the deadline, and they have to let the company know whether they've been vaccinated, or they also said they could inform human resources and I guess get two extra days to make up their minds of whether I'm not exactly sure how that works out, but there are people that have already resigned from Austell, and we've been having conversations with folks online this morning on the text line. And really, I guess this began last week when a person who works at Austell, and I won't say his name because I'm not sure he'd like for us to say his name right now, but last week said, I've been working at Austell for over a decade. I'll be leaving due to the COVID vax mandate. And we circled back, mm-hmm. Jennifer Psaki style, on that this morning and said, hey, what's going on? Have you left yet? He said, not yet. Company will be taking action on the unvaxxed soon. And then Dan, you texted, are your heels dug in? And he said, there are a good number of us, 800 plus
that haven't gotten the vaccination. We're working on organizing a protest. So that's one person who says that over 800 there haven't gotten vaccinated. I can't completely confirm that right now, but that's a huge portion of the Austell
workforce.
Yeah.
800 out of 4,000. So that is, you know, what's the math?
Right around 20%, right? That's one in five.
Yeah, not far from 20%. Want to take a call real quick here?
Yeah, let's do that.
I'm going to take a chance here. FM Talk 106.5, good morning.
Let's see, if you punched them on, punched them online?
Let's see here. We've certainly tried.
I don't have the screening software in front of me. Who are we talking to this morning?
I guess nobody.
All right, Leanne, if you could take a look at that and see if we dropped that person. But a million texts to get to here. Kelly said, I'm with you, Dalton. Funny how the CDC wants everyone to vax when they get to choose not to get vaxxed. How many of them are getting their kids vaccinated? It's a huge question. This person, Doug here, says, I have one thing to say about children being given shots. Let's go, Brandon. And then he said, I guess y'all are not allowed to say let's go, Brandon. Huh? I just said it, Doug. There you go. Let's go, Brandon. My wife and I both just got over COVID and COVID pneumonia. My son is 8 and was in our bed all around us. Hard to keep an 8-year-old away from us. Never a single symptom. Wide open the entire time. We both felt like death, but it was like he was impervious to it. Amazing. And that's the case for children across the world. Now, there are immunocompromised children, and there are children who have died from COVID, and I think a majority of them were immunocompromised. And if you're a parent who wants your kid to get vaccinated, that's fine, but the mandate's coming. That's all I'm saying.
Leroy's in Mobile, and he's on the line with us this morning. Hey, Leroy.
Hey, guys. How y'all?
Doing good.
Hey, listen, I listen to the show every morning, and just going back to the segment y'all were talking about, the doctor said, well, we have to get everybody vaccinated to see how it works.
Correct? Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So the government is mandated the vaccine. When's the last time that we heard the government say, well, we have to pass it to see what's in it?
Yeah. Was that Pelosi that said that?
Yeah. And so are we really going to trust these people? I mean, can you really trust them with your livelihood and your children?
I mean, that's the question. When you have a doc, and I don't know if that doctor was on that panel or if he's just unrelated to it all and just was commenting. I'm not quite sure where that quote came from, but it got my attention when he said, well, the way it works is almost like, hey, here's your fries.
That was from the panel discussion yesterday when they voted 17-0 with one abstention. And somebody in the discussion said, it's just the way it works.
The way it works. Pretty cavalier the way he said it, right?
Yeah. I enjoy the show, guys, and there's a lot of bad things coming down the pike here. This is a travesty about the people losing their jobs when the White House staff themselves don't even have to take it.
Yeah, or the governor's staff as well. Thanks, Leroy, for the call.
Don says, good morning, Dan and Dalton. What I don't understand is if the government is going to mandate something, they should mandate blood tests to see what your levels of the spike proteins are and antibodies for those who've already had COVID. And those of us who've been vaccinated and still had a breakthrough case of the variant and just don't want to get vaccinated. That should also include our children. It's a simple test, and it could solve a lot of this political nonsense, but we know why that is the case, don't we? Yeah, and, you know, I hate sounding like a conspiracy theorist here, but follow the money, you know? The more vaccinations that go out there, the more money that goes into the pockets. And the vaccinations could be, and I think probably are, a great thing as we try to get out of this pandemic. But it's the mandates that I have a huge issue with, and the fact that an FDA doctor said, we just don't know when it comes to 5 to 11 years old. We just don't know until it happens.
That's the way it works.
That's how it goes.
Here's your fries. It's 8:30 at FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, 8:35 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings, Wednesday style. Talk with Louie Arata with McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Wednesday style is right. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, and hope things are going well at McConnell. You know, it's the end of the month. This is the last week of October. That means it's time to get out to McConnell and get you a deal.
That's right. We've got deals going on. You can check all of our inventory out on our website at McConnellAutomotive.com. Got any questions on it or anything that you want that we got coming in? We got some stuff on there. You can give us a call, 251-476-4141. We got great interest rates on financing. We got a great selection of used trucks, four-wheel drives. We got some diesels out there. Got some Yukons, Tahoes, Explorers. We got every realm of SUV, I think, that they make. Got a few cars sitting down. I got a BMW, a Chevrolet, a Toyota. I mean, we've got the great selection. And don't forget, we're in beautiful Midtown on Dolphin Street. And we have the sign got lighted. It was lighted yesterday, so we fixed all it. So we'll have this thing at night looking pretty when that daylight savings time happens.
Yeah, yeah, that's coming up. I forgot about that.
That's right, it is.
Good stuff. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street just east of I-65 and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
You know, sometimes we can search for buttons, try to push buttons. We're not really necessarily trying to push buttons on the morning show. That's not what we're really after.
I'm just telling you how I feel.
Yeah, and there's times when it's like a big fat button in front of us. We talk about something and everybody wants to chime in on it, and the text line reflects that. The phone line as well.
Yeah, and let's go to that phone line. And Pete Ream, Common Sense Radio, Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. And I believe this is Pete joining us. Good morning, Pete.
That's right. Yeah, good morning, Dan and Dalton. How are y'all doing this
morning?
Doing
great, Pete.
Doing all right. So your opinion on the Pfizer for 5 to 11 years old, and I don't. Do you think that it's insane to believe that a mandate would be coming for five-year-olds?
Well, if the mandate's coming for the employees, I mean, why would we think it's not coming? I mean, we got told all through the campaign and the early part of Biden's administration there'd never be a national requirement for vaccines, and now we're being forced to take vaccines. People are losing their jobs. You don't think that as soon as they enforce this and these people lose their jobs, they're not going to come back and force your children? I mean, that to me is absurd if you don't think they're coming back. They've never stopped. They've moved the goalposts from 2 weeks lockdown to 2 years, you know, from a vaccine to how many boosters for the rest of your life. It never stops. But that's not my point. My point is this is a constitutional question. This isn't about the vaccines. These mandates are unconstitutional. The Biden administration has manufactured a conflict and is pitting employers against employees, just like they did with censorship and big tech. They're using the big companies to enforce their tyrannical edicts and control the people. The companies don't want it, and the employers don't want it. This is fabricated. This is a constitutional question, and it should be fought out between the states and the federal government. And what's unconscionable is that our legislature and our governor, Ivey, refuse to join that fight. They just sit there with their mealy-mouthed platitudes. Oh, we support you. We believe in your constitutional rights. But we're not going to act to protect you from the depredations of a rogue federal government and frightened big business. They will not act. They're going to let you lose their jobs. These good Americans are going to lose their jobs, the ones who worked through the pandemic. You have to get a vaccination to work, but you don't have to have a vaccination to come into this country illegally and get on welfare.
Yeah,
that is absurd. The people see it. And my whole point is it's unconscionable that the governor and the state legislature just sits back and wishes us luck, wishes those employees luck, and does not take on. It's their fight, not our fight. That's what we elected them for, and that's really my point. It's a constitutional fight.
It's almost like, and I think they are, I heard Sean say yesterday, that they're basically waiting for a lawsuit to arise from an employee who was forced to get mandated in Alabama. But why do you think they won't, and Governor Ivey specifically, why she won't take a more, you know, commanding presence here? I mean, the stats show that most Alabamians are against these mandates.
Well, I don't know why. That's the big question. Is it because she's just not a good leader? Is it because she's bought off by big special interests? Or she just doesn't care? I don't get it. And the lawsuit thing is another distraction. Anybody who's been involved in lawsuits, how long do lawsuits take?
Forever.
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 So here we are, all these people have their livelihoods threatened, they have children to feed and put in school, and they're saying, hey, we're going to handle this in the courts. Well, heck, that could take 10 years.
Yeah.
Pete, let me ask you this.
I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. The point is, this is their fight.
Yeah.
This is Montgomery's fight. This is every state's fight. And instead of stepping up and saying, you know what? You elected us, and we're going to take this 10th Amendment constitutional right fight right to the federal government. Y'all stand back and protect not only the workers, but the employers. Say companies we're going to remove you from the equation. This is not your problem. This is our fight. No, they're sitting on the sidelines and they're cowards. And everybody should be calling their state representatives, their state senators, and the governor and say, if you can't do your job, the primaries are coming. I mean, it's just disgusting to me, all the people I've heard, well, golly, we really support you, but there's nothing we can do. Attorney General, got any ideas?
Hey, Pete, is there any concern in Montgomery from the governor, the attorney general, whoever, that by forcing the hand, by creating this pushback, that there could be federal money not coming our way? Or is there incentives the federal government could be punitive toward the state of Alabama?
Yeah. Look, I think at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Right.
Whether it's the state government or all these companies, they are definitely afraid of the federal government and certain contracts or funds drying up, that they're going to use those to manipulate us. But that they always are dangling that over us, and that's one of the reasons we shouldn't be dependent on the federal government. But that's part of the fight, and I would say buck up and do it. I guess the point or the interesting thing about all that is we haven't actually reached the end of the line. I mean, the OSHA requirements are not even out. We don't really even know, other than the executive order says, look, I want you all to do this.
Right.
The actual regulations and requirements by OSHA, which is also our congressmen are up there fighting to say that's unconstitutional and unauthority, but it's not even out. So the question is, why are the companies rushing to get this done when they actually don't have the final instructions on how to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they not being like the lawyers, kick this thing down the road until the last minute, until their hands are forced by either the federal or state government? I mean, to me, I'm totally puzzled why big business is not taking the exit here and saying, look, we're caught between state governments and federal governments. Y'all go resolve this and
find
come
out.
Back to us.
Good stuff.
I don't understand it, and I'm really disappointed that our leaders will not engage. They throw platitudes out, and these people are getting fired today, and Airbus people are getting fired, and the companies are going to be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
When they lose 20 or 30% of their workforce, it's going to have devastating economic consequences to their operations. And all we get out of Montgomery is whistling.
Good stuff, Pete. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Compton's Radio. You'll be back on, and I'm sure Pete talking about that. Good call.
Oh, there's a preview of a show right there.
Yeah.
If you're wondering what Pete's going to talk about tomorrow night, tomorrow night, I think we got a pretty good preview right there.
Yeah, and he mentioned, you know, what the ramifications for the loss of so many employees for these companies.
Aren't we starting to see that already? United Airlines?
We are. And you had the Southwest thing, which they said was not a strike a few weeks ago.
But it probably was.
Yeah, it's looking like it likely was. But now you have United Airlines, and they're saying this is what they said. Unvaccinated pilots are costing the company nearly $1.5 million every 2 weeks while on paid leave. And if, you know, they said costing the company, don't forget, the airlines got a massive bailout over the last couple of years. But they say unvaccinated pilots costing nearly $1.5 million every 2 weeks. The airline was forced to put the pilots on paid leave because colleagues refused to, quote, risk their safety by flying with unvaccinated workers. They had originally planned to put the employees on unpaid leave, but then last month a federal judge ordered them that they could not place unvaccinated employees on unpaid leave. So that's from United Airlines, and I'm sure, you know, we have some United Airlines employees around the state somewhere.
But
when you look at something like Austell, with over 4,000 employees locally, and if that texter's numbers ring true that around 800 are unvaccinated and don't plan to get vaccinated, that is a major hit.
So I think what we're looking at with Austell right now is one, you know, Dalton and I will talk about this, off the air. It's like, okay, three big things. What are we looking at? Well, I think we might already have an ace in the hole with one of our three big things tomorrow. It's probably going to be the fallout at Austell this afternoon.
Yeah, we'll see if anything new arises today. But
they say it's going to arrive. They say it's going to happen. So,
and somebody said that bonuses, I guess, again, I can't confirm this, but are bonuses supposed to be paid out tomorrow to Austell employees? And if you're out today, you don't get the bonus? Is that how that works?
How about that?
We'll have to find out if that's factual or not.
Quite the timing of bonuses, if that's the case. 8:46 up in Talk 106.5. We're going to talk with Jeff Poore. Preview his show on the way. Morning from Dan and Dalton, 8:51 on FM Talk 106.5. 9 minutes away from 9 o'clock. It's normally when we give you a preview of Jeff Poor's show, but we just let Jeff do that himself, right? Do the heavy lifting. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing good. Who you have coming up today?
And 9:30 block, Bill Britt, Alabama political reporter, get his reaction to some of the things going on. Obviously, reapportionment special session about to get underway here tomorrow. So we know what the maps are going to look like, but I think we get the official maps today. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the governor's executive order. A lot of controversy about this executive order that she is just, it's a formality. It doesn't really do much, and it gives the legislature cover to not have to address this in the special session. I just did a radio hit with Dale Jackson. He's obviously very emotional, let's say, about this whole thing. But it's my personal opinion, the whole thing is intellectually bankrupt. The order directs the attorney general to do something he was already doing, and says that state law is not enough to address this problem, which is curious to me. It's just the governor's never had a really good relationship with the rank and file of the legislature. She's always been tied to the leadership. But like I said, we'll get some we'll get Bill Britt's perspective on that. John Gray, a political consultant. We're going to talk about the map, this new map.
Yeah.
If those of you in Spanish Fort may have a new state senator, if this map goes through, you will be represented by the Vivian figures. She may or may not run for reelection, but we all know who she is. She would come across the bay and pick up Spanish Fort. But there's a ripple effect for the entire county of Baldwin County that, because of local legislation and the way things are done, you're going to have three state senators of Baldwin County, Greg Albrecht and Vivian Figures and Chris Elliott. That's a really interesting mix of characters, and you now have one Democrat, a very strident Democrat, that could stand in the way of a lot of things people want to do in Baldwin County. We also got former Congressman Parker Griffith. He is our official Democrat response, and as we do every Wednesday, we'll wrap it up with Sean Ross from SR Communications.
So is that the biggest shift with these maps? Is Spanish Fort currently in Elliott's district? Is that right? Or is it
Greg Albrecht's district? And so the word on the street about this is that Greg Albrecht does not do well traditionally in Spanish Fort. He is a product of Escambia County, Atmore. He does well in Escambia, Washington County, Monroe County, and when he had, Clark County. Those places, kind of within a stone's throw of this listening area, but never got the northern half of Baldwin County, but also had Spanish Fort. Never really took to Spanish Fort. It's always been a problem area for him. He as the he's a general fund chairman, a lot of sway in that body.
Yeah,
I wanted out. I want to be more of into the Mobile delegation, is my understanding. So it's a very interesting kind of situation here, where, well, who are we going to give this to? Can't give it to Elliott. He's got way too much already. They had to shrink his district because it's growing so much. Well, what about over there across the bay? And that seems to be what they have done.
Is it enough? Are the numbers enough that that a Democrat can still win, even with Spanish Fort included?
I think so. It only gets about 2.5 precincts of Spanish Fort. Looking at the map, and there's dozens of precincts over on the other side. I mean, the thing about it is, though, that part of Spanish Fort that would be included in that district is probably one of the fastest growing places, not just in Baldwin County, but maybe in the state. I mean, they're putting up subdivisions. People are moving there. And at some point, that could be that could sway things, because those guys over there in Spanish Fort are not going to be voting Democrat. And then it becomes maybe something that could be flipped. That's what we call retrogression. That would draw a red flag from the Department of Justice. If there's going to be a lawsuit, if we're looking at this state Senate map and there was something that the DOJ would look at, or any of these other groups would look at, that's a red flag to include in a minority-majority district, a ruby red Spanish Fort.
Yeah. So you take all the maps combined, Senate, state Senate, congressional districts, have there been complaints on either side of the aisle, or, are the Republicans happy with this? Are the Democrats happy with this? What are you kind of seeing before this special session begins tomorrow?
The Democrats are never going to be happy with it. They might be happy with it behind the scenes, but they're going to tell you they're not. They got to. That's what Democrats do. That's what they're in business about. I think it's a mixed bag with Republicans. But look, they're not looking for unanimity. They don't want just a 105-0 vote or a 35-0 vote. They want all that Jim McClendon, the chairman of the Senate side of the reapportionment effort, and Chris Pringle, the chairman of the House side, all they want is enough votes to pass and to get it to the governor's desk. They're playing that game, whatever it takes. So there's going to be a lot of unhappy people, I think.
Speaking of the governor, the executive order yesterday that Jim Ziegler called hogwash. What exactly is hogwash, Dalton?
Yeah. Well, I thought I'd look up the definition for fun. Hogwash, swill, slop, nonsense. Balderdash. That's how Ziegler felt about the executive
surprised
order.
He didn't use balderdash, but anyway, talk about how toothless you think that is.
Yeah, I think it's something to give cover to the legislature not to have to act. Leadership doesn't want to deal with it. The business community does not, let's be honest about this, they do not mind the federal government saying you must go out and get a vaccine. They're okay with it. They have a boogeyman. They would prefer their employees be vaccinated. So anyway, this gives cover because, oh my gosh, the legislature's in session and a lot of people are upset about all this. Maybe the legislature should do something. What do we do here? We don't want the legislature to pass some law that would be tort hell or whatever, cause a bunch of lawsuits. We got to do something. Think fast. Oh, here, we'll do this obligatory gesture. We'll call it an executive order, and it will just say a bunch of mean things about Joe Biden, and we know that the attorney general's already got some lawsuits cooking, so we'll put that in there, and bam, you got it, and then all we got to get through is the next 2-3 weeks, and then once we get past that, then these guys on the campaign trail could just say, we're not in session, we can't do anything about it, and that's that.
When does the 22 general session begin? Is that
it begins in January. They do it early in election years, so that works. Maybe that works in the favor of something getting done, but they want to get them in. They want to get in, pass the budgets, get out of there, get back on the campaign trail, and then be able to fundraise. Because something y'all may not know, these candidates for state offices, be it from governor all the way down to district judge, you can't raise money during a legislative session. There's a legislative blackout session.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, plenty more where that came from coming up in the Jeff Poor Show, which begins in just minutes. Jeff, thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You got a Jeff Poor of the Jeff Poor Show, which is on the way in about 7 minutes on FM Talk 106.5. All right, Dalton, a few fireworks in the studio today and on the text line for sure and on the phone line too.
More bombs than last night's World Series game. Hopefully more bombs tonight from the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, good luck, Braves. I think try to take a 2-0 lead tonight on Fox a little after 7 o'clock.